Vayera. We spoke yesterday about the events leading up to the destruction of Sodom, described in Perek Yutes. We know that after the destruction of Sodom, the four out of the five cities of Sodom which are destroyed, so it says that Lot fled from Sodom. Vayeshev Bahar, he settled into the mountain. And then we know the story, the strange and startling story told by the Torah, as Lot escaped with his two daughters, who were as of yet unmarried, and they said, Ovinu Zokain, they said to one another, our father is old. V'ish ein ba'aretz lovo aleinu kederech kol ha'aretz. And there's no other man who can have relations with us. And it seems like what they're saying is, so humanity is going to stop here. The impression that you have from reading the simple psukim is that the daughters of Lot believed that the entire world had been destroyed when Sodom and its cities were destroyed. They were not aware of anything that was still existing out there. And they said, wow, humanity consists of ourselves and our father. So how is the human race going to be able to continue if it's just the three of us? So as we know, they launched this unusual plan that they're intimate together with their father, and they have sons who ultimately grow to become the nations of Ammon and Moab, as described in the Chumash. The Sfarno has a number of unique insights into this story, which give a little bit of a different twist than the way I just described it. So first of all, according to the Sfarno, the daughters of Lot were quite aware of the fact that there was still a world out there. You know, the way I just presented the understanding that they were of the opinion that the entire world had been destroyed. Ish ein ba'aretz, there's nobody left in the world. Again, it's possible, but it would seem like that was a very, very naive assumption on their part. I mean, again, we know that just that area was destroyed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. They really just had to travel a few miles, and they would have encountered Avraham Avinu. They would have encountered whole civilizations living just a few miles from them. So again, it's possible that they were so shell-shocked that they couldn't bring themselves to imagine that there was anything out there, but it seems like they were embarking on a very, very unusual path. They should have taken the time to figure out whether it was actually true that the whole world was destroyed. So the Sfarno has the following understanding in Pasuk Lamed Aleph in Perek Yutes, Avinu Zokain, our father is old. He writes, V'lo yis'ameit zaharchik nedod el eretz acheres. The fact that our father is old is not merely indicative of the fact that he's unlikely to father more children, although he did quite a fine job when they took him up on it. But the fact that he's old means that he's unlikely to travel. In other words, as the Sfarno is going to explain to us, the daughters of Lot were fully aware that there were still people out there, but they realized that there were not people who were accessible to them. Our father is old, he's going to stay here. And what's implied in the Sfarno is a beautiful thought, which the Sfarno does not state outright, but is very much implied in the Sfarno. We as daughters would never think to abandon our father. In other words, considered from their point of view, our father's old, so he's going to settle down here. Fine, let him stay here. We'll leave him a meal. The two of us will go into town, we'll get married, and we'll have families. That never even dawns on the daughters of Lot from the Sfarno's perspective. If our father is old and he's going to stay here in this location and, you know, he's just not going anywhere, so by definition, we are going to stay with him. We're not going to take our chances by going into the city. And even though we know that there are men there that we could marry and we could start families with, right off the bat, you see an element of the tzidkus, of the righteousness of the daughters of Lot, which is a theme that we'll come back to in the next couple of moments in our reading of the Sfarno. They have tremendous kibud of. V'ish ein ba'aretz lavo aleinu. There's no one in the land to have relations with us. Writes the Sfarno, ein ish b'zeh ha'golil ro'oi lavo aleinu. So the Svarno has inserted two ideas into this phrase in the Pasuk. Ish eid ba'aretz, there's no one in the land. What does that mean? So again, one way to read that is there's nobody in the world that we could be married to. The Svarno right away says ba'aretz means in this area, in this province. Ein ish b'zeh ha'golil, there's no person in this area with whom we could start a family. And then the Svarno adds, interestingly enough, another little twist. There's no one in this area ra'oi lavo aleinu. There's no one who's worthy of marrying us. Now, that's not a conceited statement. Oh, you know, we're the daughters of Lot. But the daughters of Lot have an understanding that they are part of the family of Avraham Avinu. And they can't just marry any old guy out there. They have to enter into a marriage with someone who shares the values of Avraham Avinu. Apparently what the Svarno is implying is that not only were they aware of the fact that there were men out there who survived, you know, the whole world was not destroyed when Sodom was destroyed, but there might have been people even in that area, there might have been men even in that area that they could have married potentially. But there was no one who was worthy to marry into the family of Avraham Avinu. There was no one who shared that understanding of Avraham Avinu's values. Where does the Svarno get that from? In other words, everything has to go back into the Pasuk. Ish ein la'aretz lavo aleinu. So the Svarno says, we learn it out from the end of the Pasuk. Kederech kol ha'aretz. In the manner of the entire world. There's no one left in this area who can marry us. Kederech kol ha'aretz. In the manner of the whole world. What's in the manner of the whole world? Says the Svarno, Shahaminoghu Shalotinose Hoisha Elohagunla. I think the way we translate the word minog over here is the normal practice is that a woman has to marry a man who's appropriate for her. Right? You don't marry in a way you don't try to marry in a way where the parties are mismatched with one another. So in other words, that's what they're saying, says the Svarno. We could find a man to marry. They're out there. But to find a man to marry who, in this area, where we won't have to abandon our father, who's of the caliber to marry into the house of Avraham Avinu, that already we don't have. Oh. Okay, Gvaldik. That's an incredible point, which I want to come back to Be'ezus Hashem in the next couple of minutes. So, I think it's two for two, right? I mean, no, it's very good, because the truth is, I wasn't necessarily going to talk about that, but there's a Svarno on that point exactly, so we'll go backwards a little bit, and then we'll bring in that Svarno to this discussion. Point being, what we see from the Svarno is this incredible tzidkus, this righteousness associated with the daughters of Lot. You know, you read this simple pshat in the psukim, you kind of walk away from the story thinking, you know, it doesn't sound 100% kosher, whatever was going on over there. But, you know, again, as we'll see through the Svarno, and I just want to reiterate what we've said numerous times already, the Svarno's approach to explaining the Chumash is to take the characters of Chumash and to show their tzidkus, to show their righteousness. And that applies not only to Avram and Sarah, who we've talked about before, but even the Benos Lot, they're thinking about how they can have children in a way that doesn't abandon their father and respects the fact that they come from the house of Avram Avinu. And that plays itself out. They're then intimate with their father. Now, something which is important to mention, which we'll see whether or not the Svarno agrees with this, but the Ramban, in his comments on the Chumash, points out that technically speaking, the act that the Benos Lot engaged in would not have been considered to be incest under the laws of Bnei Noach. In other words, the Gemara says that a father and a daughter, technically speaking, are allowed to be together, not under Jewish law, but under the law of Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. That was not one of the prohibited relationships. And as such, as much as it might have been unusual, frowned upon, looked askance at, whatever, but technically speaking, it wasn't an isser, it wasn't something prohibited that they were engaged in. They were ready to do something unseemly, but something that was not technically prohibited, and they did so because they wanted to have children who would continue from the line of Lot, from the line that was associated in some way with Avraham Avinu.
Were they born with twin sisters? Because what would these two boys do? There's nobody else in this world.
Well, eventually, see, these children, that actually, I think, proves the Sforno's point to some extent. The daughters do not think that the whole world has been destroyed, according to the Sforno. Right? So in other words, okay, so they'll get a little bit older, they'll go off to yeshiva, you know, and they'll maybe marry into the family of Avraham Avinu on the other side, you know, but, and again, if you hold that the whole world was destroyed, the kasha's a kasha, good, so we'll have kids, and then what's going to happen? Right? We're going to have two boys, so where's that going to go? Right? But according to the Sforno, that they did not think that the whole world was destroyed. So then, you know, that's also true. Right. Right, but... Right, but they also, had they thought that the world was entirely destroyed, maybe they would have kept trying. In other words, once they have the two boys, okay, so maybe, you know, we need girls in order to make this whole thing work. But again, according to the Sforno, they didn't think the whole world was destroyed, you know, so it's more understandable what was going through their heads. So they have the children. So the first, the older daughter, the younger daughter refers to the son as Moav. The older one refers to Moav. The younger one refers to her son as Ammon, right? Vatikra Shmo Moav, Vatikra Shmo Ben Ami. And they both give names which indicate the paternity of these children. Moav, Mayav, from the father, right? In other words, the father of the children is also the grandfather of the children. And Ammon, Ben Ami, he's from my nation. In other words, he's from us. Isn't that a little disturbing? In other words, it's one thing that you're going to have children in this very, very unusual kind of way, but you have to label the kid with a name that just gives away the whole story? So says the Sforno, no, that's praiseworthy. Lahoros shalonis abru me adam bilti hagun. They wanted to make the point that Lot was the father of these children. In other words, understand that these children were fathered by someone from the house of Avraham Avinu, by Lot, who was a righteous person. Again, he may have failed in righteousness relative to Avraham Avinu, but certainly, relatively speaking, he was a righteous person. So these are children who came about from a righteous person, and that's to their credit. In other words, you know, we wouldn't have had the kids with an other man. Just going back to the righteousness of Lot, Ramosha's point from before, we say, you know, what kind of tzidkus did Lot have? Here the mob is surrounding his house in stone, and he says, you know, I'm gonna protect my guests at any cost, have my daughters, right? So the Ramban Taka points out that, you know, that statement really speaks very poorly of Lot. You know, in other words, he kind of got it, but he didn't really get it. You know, I'm very big into the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim, so I'm going to turn over my daughters, you know, to be molested by this crazy crowd. I mean, yeah, you obviously skipped one of those sessions when you were taking the Gemilas Chasadim rapid course, you know, in terms of how you're supposed to act. But the Sforno has an interesting pshat, which maintains a lot of the tzidkus, our understanding of the righteousness of Lot. He writes as follows. This is back in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Ches. Otsiona esen aleichem. Lot says to the mob, let me take out my unmarried daughters and give them to you. So chashov shiyakumu lok chevenosof. Lot had a plan. He didn't think that, he didn't really believe that he was ready to give over his daughters to be molested by a crowd. He thought to himself like this. I'll talk about giving the daughters to the crowd, and their fiancés, they were engaged, right? That's what the Pasuk says, Lochei Venosov, you know, they were engaged. Their fiancés will say, what are you talking about? We're not going to let our kalos be molested by this crowd. V'kom shon beinayim. And they're going to start fighting and pushing back. And meanwhile, I will figure something out in order to save us from this situation. It's noteworthy, Rabbi Cooperman points this out in his notes, that the Sforno's interpretation of Lot, meaning that when Lot talked about giving the daughters to the crowd, he was basically stalling for time. You know, he was trying to figure something out. You know, but he certainly didn't actually want the daughters molested by the crowd. The Sfarno's interpretation of Lot's actions is very similar to the way the Sfarno interprets Avram Avinu and Sarah going down to Mitzrayim, if you recall from Parshas Lech Lecha. We're there too. The Sfarno understands that what Avram Avinu had in mind was that people will ask for my sister's quote-unquote hand in marriage. They'll give me gift. They'll try to buy me off. I'll hem, I'll haw, I'll stall. You know, and in the meantime, we'll be able to get out of Mitzrayim and avoid the whole situation. It was basically a stalling tactic, as opposed to being a real plan. That he had in mind. So Lot learned from Avram Avinu. Lot also learned the value of a stalling tactic. Truth is, it didn't work so well by Avram Avinu, but Lot, picked up on the methodology. But again, the Sfarno is defending the tzidkus, the righteousness of Lot. Lot's a good guy. He's not the kind of guy who would hand over the daughters to the crowd. He has a plan, when he thinks about this. So anyway, jumping back to us, so Lot is the righteous father of these children, and the daughters want to illustrate that. And when the pasuk says "Hu avi Moav, Hu avi b'nei Amon ad hayom," that these children, Moav and Ben Ami, are the progenitors of the nations of Moav and Amon to this day. Shiyarshu eretz. Why does the pasuk tell us that these children are the progenitors of Moav and Amon? Is to tell us that Moav and Amon were zocha to get a portion in what would eventually be the lands of Klal Yisrael. They inherited part of the portion of Avram Avinu. Ki mipnei shehoyso kavonos hanoshim ritsuyo hayozarom l'shnei goyim yorshei Avram b'miktsas. Right, the Sfarno says it straight out. The intention of these women was appropriate. They were l'shem shamayim. They did the right thing. So because of that, their children were zocha to become two great nations who would inherit the lands of Avram Avinu to an extent. Again, we know that Moab and Ammon are among the lands that are promised to Avram Avinu by the Bris Ben Habesarim. Ammon and Moab hold on to those lands for safekeeping until such time that Limos HaMoshiach, Klal Yisrael will be able to inhabit those lands as well. So the portrayal of the Benos Lot is an extremely positive one. He just ends off with the following, Ka'omram, b'chol d'rochecho do'ehu, writes the Sfarno, a Maimar Chazal, which captures what Benos Lot were doing, is the pasuk, is the comment of Chazal on the pasuk in Mishle, b'chol d'rochecho do'ehu, know Hashem in all of your ways, and Kamen Chazal Brachos Daf Samach Gimel Omed Aleph Afilu L'dvar Aveira. There are certain times where even doing an Aveira L'shem Shamayim for the purpose of heaven can be a way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in light of the Ramban that I quoted before, this is an interesting line in the Sfarno. The Ramban had said, whatever you want to say about the Benos Lot, it doesn't look nice, it doesn't sound good, whatever it is, but technically speaking it wasn't Aser. In other words, for a Ben Noach, for a non-Jewish person to have that kind of relationship between a father and a daughter, it may be unconventional, but it's not actually considered to be one of the prohibited relationships. So the question is, does the Sfarno agree with that comment of the Ramban, which by the way is based on the Gemara, does the Sfarno agree with that comment of the Ramban? On the surface it would seem that not, because the Sfarno is invoking this Maimer Chazal, that you should know Hashem even l'dvar aveira, even sometimes you can do an aveira l'shem shamayim, and he's using it in the context of explaining the behavior of the Benos Lot. The Ramban would say, what do you mean afilu l'dvar aveira? It's not an aveira, it's not usher altogether. So it could be that the Sfarno holds that we don't paskin like those opinions in the Gemara, and in that sense he disagrees with the Ramban. This actually was an aveira, but it was an aveira that was done L'shem Shamayim, which we sometimes find in Chazal, is something which is acceptable under certain very, very constrained circumstances. Don't quote me out of context, but in certain very, very constrained circumstances, there's a concept of Aveira L'shma, of doing an Aveira, for the sake of heaven. It's also possible, I think, that the Sfarno may not necessarily argue with the Ramban. Whereas the Svarno is not saying necessarily that the actions of the Benos Lot itself, themselves, constitute an Aveira. The Svarno is just quoting the Maimir Chazal from Brachos, you know, as an illustration of the fact that sometimes a person can even do an Aveira, L'shem Shomayim. So if that's the case, so certainly in the case of Benos Lot, where they didn't do anything that was actually an Aveira, it was just, you know, didn't pass the smell test, it didn't seem like the normal, conventional, you know, Beis Yaakov-y type thing to do, you know, okay, it wasn't technically Aveira, but it didn't seem very, very good. So certainly that, you know, is acceptable when a person acts L'shem Shomayim. And as it could be that the Svarno is just quoting the Maimer Chazal in a kind of borrowed sense over here. The we're in the Lower East Side, so one can't help but mention the famous story of Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal with the Benos Lot, which is related in the brief biography of Rav Moshe that appears in the beginning of the 8th Chelek of Igros Moshe. It was written primarily by Rav Moshe David Tendler, Zal Gesund sein. We're apparently back in Luban when Rav Moshe was the Rav there. A person came to Rav Moshe and shared with him the following story. It was Parshas Vayera. They got up to the story of the Benos Lot, and this individual, when learning the story, made some disparaging remarks about the Benos Lot. You know, I mean, the whole story doesn't, on the surface, doesn't seem to reflect too positively upon them. That night, the fellow had a dream. And the Benos Lot came to him in a dream. And they said, "Do you know why we named our children in such a way that it would indicate that you know, their grandfather was actually their father, something that on the surface seems to be not only engaging in unseemly activities, but almost like rejoicing in the fact that we're engaged in these kind of activities?" So the Benos Lot in the dream told the fellow, "You know that, or we know that, you know, many, many years after we live, there is going to be a religion that will be founded on the concept of immaculate conception, that a woman can somehow become pregnant, you know, without a physical man involved. And we were aware of this, and we wanted to do whatever we could to dispel such a notion." In other words, somebody would look at this situation, these two daughters of Lot become pregnant all of a sudden, you know, a person might look at the situation and say, "Well, I mean, it's clear that the father Lot wasn't involved over here at all. Must be immaculate conception. Must be that somehow, I don't know, you know, there's no man involved, and yet they became pregnant. So we wanted to dispel that notion. So even though it was incredibly embarrassing for us, we gave our children names that would reflect the fact that, you know, the father was actually, our father was actually Lot. So we were willing to suffer this indignity in order to, that no one should ever think that such a thing is immaculate conception." And then the Benos Lot told this fellow, "By the way, you know, we told you this, you have to share this, this is very important information that you should share, and by the way, tomorrow, you know, after you share this, you're going to be joining us in Gan Eden." Right? So he went, he told Rav Moshe the story, and Taka passed away. So the Svarno isn't saying exactly that. It's a very, very, first of all, it's a story that teaches you have to be very, very careful about what you say about characters in Chumash, that for sure. But the Svarno isn't saying exactly that, but the Svarno is saying something akin to that. In other words, that the Benos Lot acted L'shem Shomayim. The Benos Lot, as part of their righteousness, wanted to highlight and illustrate the fact that Lot was the father of these children. That wasn't something to be, it wasn't that they were relishing a Dvar Aveira that they had engaged in. No, it was important to know that Lot was the father of these children, that he was an Ish Hagun, that he was an appropriate person to bring forth these children who were now related in two ways, on both sides, to the family of Avraham Avinu. And, you know, everything that they did was calculated in such a way that it was, you know, reflective of their tzidkus, of their righteousness, and not chas v'shalom, of, you know, anything that was unseemly in any particular way. So, you know, again, it's in line with the Svarno's approach in general. Lot isn't as bad as you might think that he is on the surface. The Benos Lot are not acting in an inappropriate way. We have to look and see the tzidkus, the righteousness of all of the people who are introduced to us, you know, in the course of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Okay, Rabbi Chananu ben Akasha Omer.